It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Morning and happy new year. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show 2021. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, as I begin my 21st year of doing the Great Outdoors Show here on WGN, and I'm very honored to do so. As we kick off 2021, I know we're all thankful of 2020 being behind us, and I thought I would talk for a moment about one of America's greatest conservationists, certainly one of our greatest presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, and something he wrote called The Man in the Arena. And the reason for talking about his wonderful paragraph about the man in the arena is that the conservation movement is going to go through very dramatic changes beginning January 20th, from where it's been for the past 4 years. Some of those changes will be good. Some of them will not be. And no matter what happens when a new administration comes in, you're always going to have individuals who wish the last administration was still there for some things, or vice versa. So my point is, in the world of conservation, we have to engage. And 2021 is going to be a year that's going to offer opportunity for those of us who love the outdoors, love to hunt, love to fish, love to walk, whatever it might be, hike in mountains. So let me just read you for a moment what Roosevelt had to say, and I think it'll help shape what I'm talking about in 2021 and beyond. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither knew victory nor defeat. And I think so many of us in the conservation world stand by, not because we're weak, not because we're timid souls, as Roosevelt would have said, but because we don't take the time. We're passionate. We care deeply. We may not know how necessarily to engage, but we can't stand by any longer as we watch the assault that's going to be coming towards our ability to hunt in America, and yes, even to fish, and to be able to access wild lands. We have seen such an incredible erosion of our rights as sportsmen and women in America. And obviously, when Theodore wrote what he wrote, The Man in the Arena, women in America could not vote. So it's really the person in the arena. It's not about man. It's not about women. It's about us, those of us who love the outdoors, becoming engaged. And let me just talk for a moment about what I think a couple of the key issues are going to be as we enter 2021. The first, as I said a moment ago, change is coming, and it's coming fast. We are going to enter a period where carbon and nitrogen are going to become buzzwords Paris Climate Accord. And again, I don't say this with any bias, whether it's good or bad. I'm just saying the focus is going to change. The Paris Climate Accord is going to be center stage. And there are going to be billions, tens of billions of dollars spent on sequestering carbon and trying to reduce nitrogen loads. That's good. The only question is, are we prepared for this wheelbarrow of money that's going to just fall on conservation? It's an opportunity for incredible malfeasance, if you will. Chicanery, fraud, pick your word. We are going to see in the coming couple of years the conservation community fall over itself, trying to position itself, the organization, to be the most climate friendly there is on Earth. And this past week, I read an article that appeared in Bloomberg, which talked about some of the things that can go wrong when conservation organizations delve into the policies of carbon sequestration. And they do so for economic gain as opposed to maybe the most sincere science. And I don't know how this is going to play out, but certainly the Nature Conservancy, Audubon Society, Ducks Unlimited, and others of a high reputation are going to get in the business of carbon sequestration because there's money there, lots of money. And they're going to get in the business of nitrogen, trying to reduce nitrogen loads, which is a great thing, as I said a moment ago. But how this is done will determine whether or not we actually are making strong progress or whether we're just spinning money around and feathering the nests of conservation organizations that have the inside track. It appears the Nature Conservancy is going to have some explaining to do over their efforts to sell carbon credits to some of the biggest companies in the world, which they've been doing. Because as the Bloomberg piece talked about, while the Nature Conservancy certainly has done a lot of good in this arena, there also are some questions as to how they're giving credits, carbon credits, which then companies, and those companies are paying the Nature Conservancy a lot of money, how they're actually accounting for those carbon credits. And in two cases that Bloomberg cited, the Nature Conservancy is selling carbon credits on forests that are not in danger at all of being cut down. They're already secured. One of them, in fact, is owned by the Nature Conservancy. So the Nature Conservancy put together a prospectus to talk about how these lands, these forests in this case, were going to be potentially endangered through clear cutting and mass destruction, and sold the credits to save these forests to BlackRock and others. But in fact, the Nature Conservancy, in one case, owned the very forest that they claim was in danger of being clear cut. Another forest belongs to a conservation group, already belongs to a conservation group, and is in no danger of being cut. So I think this has happened this is the nascent period, if you will, of how we're going to see carbon credits trained, valued and traded, and how corporations all looking to wear the white hat in what is unquestionably the coming of a huge environmental movement from which a lot of good will come from. We're going to need some way to make sure that all this is actually what it says it's going to be, and that the charge to go and get a lot of money does not come in front of the ability to actually deliver goods on the ground. That will be the challenge that we're going to face. And so that brings me back to where I started with Theodore Roosevelt's The Man in the Arena. If we want to engage to make sure things are done correctly and to make sure that hunting and fishing opportunities aren't diminished, to make sure that whether you're boating or hiking or biking or mountain climbing, whatever you're doing, that you have a voice, we, to borrow Roosevelt's phrase, we need to be in the arena. We need to be there when the decisions are made and not stand by and criticize them afterwards. So as I go to a break here, my thought on 2021, we're going to have a lot of opportunity to engage. There's going to be a tremendous amount of money coming the way of conservation. How it's spent could be largely up to us if we choose to engage. But if it ends up that a lot of it's misspent, and I'll get to the Land and Water Conservation Fund another day, we have no one to blame but ourselves because we stood by and watched it happen. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors. Happy New Year to you all. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me. I hope you are enjoying today's show. If you're just joining me, I'm going to talk for a moment about the circular, if you will, the circular world of conservation in Washington, D.C. You hear about it all the time from the perspective of the quote-unquote drain the swamp or whatever it might be of lobbyists and people moving from government into private sector and back into government. The conservation world is no different than the private sector in this. Every time an administration changes, individuals leave the administration and go to work for conservation organizations with D.C. bases. And those in D.C.-based conservation organizations go to work for the government. 4 years later, 8 years later, when things turn over, they go right back and we start the circle all over again. This is part of the reason why the conservation world in Washington has for a long time really not heard the voice of the American sportsmen and women, because we basically have a closed circle. And I don't think that's going to change now. In fact, the early indications of appointments being made are very few outsiders are being brought into Washington. It's too bad, but that's the way it looks. And I'm not being critical. It's just an observation, a fact. But I think you're going to see some conservation organizations that for the last 4 years have not had the ear of the administration. Defenders of Wildlife, for example, suddenly will get the ear of the administration. You're going to see groups that are much less interested in hunting and fishing and advancing the opportunities for hunting and fishing, have a leg up on those that support hunting and fishing. I doubt very much that the administration is going to take a call from the NRA, Safari Club International, SheCar, some of the organizations that are very strident in advancing the cause of hunting and fishing and perpetuating that heritage. And they're much more likely to take the call from softer groups that just don't have hunting and fishing's future as their agenda. Doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means that our interests are not necessarily going to be that well represented. And I think we have to be very much aware of this. So as the administration fills out its positions, it will be interesting to see how many people leave NGOs, non-government organizations, in conservation world and go to work for the government and where they come from. That's going to tell us everything about where things are headed. But as I said a moment ago, I'm going to do a show very soon on the Land and Water Conservation Fund and the $900 million a year that's now coming the way of conservation, and how we're going to make sure this money is well spent. I want to take just a moment to talk about the Secretary of Interior, which is a Representative Deb Haaland from New Mexico. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, has been nominated for this position. She would be the first Native American ever to hold the position of the Secretary of Interior, and the Department of Interior oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Therefore, she's the first individual who would have a background in the heritage of Native Americans running an agency that oversees Native Americans, which I think is a great thing. But when you look at her interest and her record, I think there are a lot of reasons we're going to have to pay attention. As far as I can tell, and I've done as much research as is publicly available, there is no record of Representative Haaland, who could become Secretary of the Interior, hunting or fishing. No statements in her political career or that I can find about her support of hunting, or more importantly, her actual personal engagement in hunting. There are lots of comments about supporting climate change. There are lots of comments about ending fossil fuels. And the Bureau of Land, Secretary of the Interior oversees oil and gas drilling on the public lands, 500 million acres of public land in America. There is very little about her views on the management of lands. One of the things that happened in the last 4 years is the National Wildlife Refuge System through the Fish and Wildlife Service changed its mandates to mandate that the refuges are managed for the purposes for which they were secured. And if a refuge was bought for the purpose of waterfowl preservation, then it needed to be managed for that, not managed for frogs or something else. So I think we have an interesting time coming. We'll cover it much more in the coming weeks. Most of all, I hope 2021 is a fabulous year for you and your family and your friends and the great outdoors. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America. 720 WGN. Happy New Year.